From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Things to Remember. In chapter 23, Joshua, now an old man, is shortly to die. As he exhorts the children of Israel to remain faithful to the Lord, he tells them to take good heed unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. If we're to go on with God, we must keep before us what the Lord has done for us. In His grace and love, He's given His people rich promises, which He's never failed to fulfill. In addition, God has given His people a rich provision through the gospel. All the fullness of God is ours in Christ. Then the Lord has given us a rich prospect. He has promised victory for His people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Revival blessing can yet be a reality for the church as well as for individual believers. Yet we must be aware that forces are at work that would rob God's people of spiritual power. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. To Him be glory both now and forever. Heaven will be full of the ceaseless praises of Jesus. Eternity, thine unnumbered years shall speed their everlasting course, but forever and forever to Him be glory. Is He not a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek? To Him be glory. Is He not King forever? King of kings and Lord of lords, the everlasting Father? To Him be glory forever. Never shall His praises cease. That which was bought with blood deserves to last while immortality endures. The glory of the cross must never be eclipsed. The luster of the grave and of the resurrection must never be dimmed. O Jesus, Thou shalt be praised for ever. Long as immortal spirits live, long as the Father's throne endures, forever, forever unto Thee shall be glory. Believer, you are anticipating the time when you shall join the saints above in ascribing all glory to Jesus. But are you glorifying Him now? The Apostle's words are, To Him be glory both now and forever. Will you not this day make it your prayer? Lord, help me to glorify Thee. I am poor. Help me to glorify Thee by contentment. I am sick. Help me to give Thee honor by patience. I have talents. Help me to extol Thee by spending them for Thee. I have time, Lord. Help me to redeem it, that I may serve Thee. I have a heart to feel, Lord. Let not that heart feel no love but Thine, and glow with no flame but affection for Thee. I have a head to think, Lord. Help me to think of Thee and for Thee. Thou hast put me in this world for something, Lord. Show me what that is, and help me to work out my life purpose. I cannot do much, but as the widow put in her two mites, which were all her living, so, Lord, I cast my time and eternity too into Thy treasury. I am all Thine. Take me and enable me to glorify Thee now, in all that I say, in all that I do, and with all that I have.
Send me, here am I, Lord, send me, unto Thee willingly, yielded I come. Show the path that I must walk, compel me then to go, and if I stray, show me the narrow. Send me, I pray.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. We're happy to announce that the latest issue of the LTBS Quarterly Magazine is now available. The theme for this first quarter of the year is The Everlasting Gospel. And three Free Presbyterian ministers deal with this subject under three headings: What is the Gospel?, One Bible, One Gospel, and Christ, the Power and Wisdom of God. In addition, Jill Saunders contributes a devotional article entitled A Woman Called Damaris, the story of a lady of Athens who came to Christ under Paul's ministry. Then the new editor of LTBS magazine, the Reverend Noel Hughes, tells the story of the Hebron Outreach Ministry in an article called Reaching the Children. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Those who request a copy of this particular issue also will receive the first issue of a new magazine called Current, a publication of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. In addition to providing faithful Bible teaching on issues of the day, Current serves as an introduction to the work of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Although this first issue is provided free of charge, succeeding issues will be by subscription, and information about subscribing will accompany the magazine. To obtain your copies of LTBS Quarterly Magazine and the first issue of Current, please write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We'd be delighted to hear from you.
Thank you. The greatest enemy you have to face in your way to heaven is not outside, but inside. We may well use the words of the psalmist in the 39th Psalm, of these inward lusts, mine enemies, they are many and they are strong. The motions of the flesh are many. They are also very, very potent. How can we conquer the flesh? The answer is we cannot. We may for a moment repress the flesh. We may for a while cover up the flesh. We may put a cloak of religion over the inward motions of the flesh. But the truth is, there's not one man among us can ever really conquer the flesh. But bless God, there's power in the gospel. And God has already demonstrated that within us. We are not, I keep on quoting the words of John Newton, or at least paraphrasing them, and they're so true, we are not what we want to be. We are not what we're going to be. But bless God, we're not what we used to be. God has begun a good work in us. The gospel's power has been demonstrated. Things that used to bind us no more. Things that were once our masters are now trying to usurp authority, but they're held under the power of grace. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful, glorious change the gospel has made. And then we've seen that power working through us. There are enemies on the outside. We have seen God work against the foes to the gospel. We have seen God work to the conversion of other souls. We have seen the gospel moving in its great triumph. Satan could not stop it. Oh, with Joshua, we can raise our testimony that God hath demonstrated his mighty power. And the end is not yet, because though Joshua says, I'm dying, yet he says, the Lord has given us a rich prospect of continued fullness and continued usefulness. You'll see that in verse 5. And then again in verse 10. Ye shall possess their land, verse 5. Verse 10, one man of you shall chase a thousand. In other words, you've entered into a great deal of victory, but the best is yet to be. I realize that there has been, tragically, among too many of God's people, a great spirit of defeat. And the most tragic element in this spirit of defeat is that it is something that's supposed to spring from a belief in the second coming of Christ. One preacher put it to me very, very clearly. If I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ may come today, if I believe that there is nothing in the New Testament that tells me there's anything to be fulfilled before the coming of Christ, and that is the belief of the any moment rapture position, and I'm not now trying to argue against that position. I'm simply saying, this preacher said, if that is the case, then I'm looking for Jesus, and I cannot pray for revival. I can't be looking for revival and looking for Jesus. I wonder why not. Doesn't make any sense to me. Didn't make any sense to Peter or to Paul. Were they not looking for Christ? I'm not going to argue their eschatological beliefs. I'll simply announce that they were good post-trib pre-millers, but if you don't see that in the Bible yet, the Lord bless you. You'll waken up when you get to heaven, if not before. But seriously, Were they not looking for Christ? But were they not looking day by day for the mighty works of God? Did they not have a vision of the gospel being carried victoriously to the ends of the earth? It's a tragedy when God's people start making their interpretation of obscure passages of Scripture a reason for sitting back without prayer and without evangelism to reach the world for Christ. God hath promised us there are rich prospects. The fullness of the Holy Ghost is still ours. John Murray once wrote that while Pentecost cannot be repeated, neither has it been withdrawn. I never forgot those words. Neither has it been withdrawn. As a young Christian, when I started paying attention to the doctrine of the second coming of Christ and spending hours and hours poring over the Scriptures with a Scofield Bible, coming to the conclusion that Mr. Scofield was wrong in most of what he said about the subject. But as I stood there, I came to the prophecy of Joel. And I couldn't get away from the fact, and I still can't get away from the fact, that it's a prophecy that reaches right to the end of this age. But yet I found that it started to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And in my teenage brain, this one thing crystallized. And I say, with all the years that have passed, I have never changed this view. That God gave a promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise that seems to have something immediately to do with the second coming of Christ. But He started pouring out that Spirit in the day of Pentecost. What can I conclude from that? I believe I can conclude this. That what God did in the day of Pentecost, He will never withdraw. The Spirit He gave, He will never take back. The power for the church, He will never, never deny. And that will be with the church. And indeed, rather than getting less, it will be revealed in all its pristine purity and power immediately before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe, and I don't really care at this point what your position on eschatology is. I'm simply saying I do not believe for a moment that we have the slightest bit or shadow of an excuse for not seeing that God has a wonderful prospect for His church. If we're going to live in the fullness and the blessing of God, we'd better know that. Remember what God has already done for us and given to us. Then remember that there are forces at work that want to rob us of this blessing of God. Verse 6 to 8 is a warning against apostasy, a warning against backsliding. There are forces that we are coming in contact with within ourselves and around us that want to take us away out of the experience of the blessing of God. That was true of the Israelites. They had these nations, or at least the remnants thereof, around about them. Those nations posed dangers. And the children of Israel were told, recognize it. Remember, there are forces set for your destruction. Dr. Verdon this morning mentioned the time that so many spend watching television. I just read a little snippet from D.L. Moody. I closed the book and didn't take a note of the page, so I can't give you it word for word. But I intend to hunt it out again. And I thought, oh my, how America has changed since Moody's day. Of course, there was no television, there was no radio for Moody to mention. But the Sunday papers were very popular, just as they are today. Man, was I glad to see this coming from an American. Because in our country, you see, you proclaim yourself an ungodly wretch if you read the Sunday papers. Possibly because most of them are rags, but I think it was because mostly of the love for the Sabbath day. And Moody saw this coming into America in his day, and he blasted the Christians who would not give the Sabbath to God. And he lamented the curse and the scourge that this was in the homes of Christian people. Nowadays, they'd think he was off his head. But I want to tell you, he wasn't off his head. He wasn't off his head. I'm going to make a sweeping statement, and call me a legalist if you want. I'd rather be a legalist that's holy than an antinomian that is unholy. I want to tell you this. In a Christian home, that television has no right to be on for any reason, for any program on the Sabbath day. And that radio, you can do without hearing what fires there have been in Greenville overnight and who murdered whom and all the rest of it. You can do without that for one day. This is the Lord's day. And it's about time we wakened up to it. There are forces that are at work among God's people to secularize their thinking, to make their hearts cold, to take them away out of the central blessings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua spells out the results of such declension when we lose the zeal and we lose the vision and we lose the power to go on with God. When we come to terms with sin, he says you'll have defeat. You'll have disgrace. Look at verse 13. You'll find defeat. You'll find the disgrace that these people will be snares and traps and you fall into them. You'll not have the wit, the wisdom, or the strength to keep out of them. Is that not what we're finding today? Do we not find we have bred a race of Christians who are so weak and wandering that they are falling into every snare, they're entrapped by every fool? And he says it will lead to dispossession. Again, verse 13. And short of eternal life, listen to me very carefully, short of eternal life, Christian can lose everything that he has.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.